The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome, everyone, to the deep dive. Today, we're taking a fascinating look not just at comics, but at how comics work, how they tell stories visually.
Exactly. We're digging into a really groundbreaking book, Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics, The Invisible Art.
It really is foundational, isn't it? It basically gave people the language to talk seriously about comics.
For sure. For so long, comics were just seen as, you know, kids' stuff, disposable. McCloud came along and gave it this rigorous, formal analysis. He built the grammar, the vocabulary for it.
Our mission today is really to unpack how they work, to look at that invisible art he talks about.
Yeah, the stuff that happens between the panels inside your head, essentially.
That idea is just so powerful, the art happening in your mind. But before we get into the theories themselves, maybe we should talk a bit about Scott McCloud himself.
Good idea. He's kind of a rare bird, isn't he?
He really is. He's not just a theorist. He was and is a creator, too. People might know his indie series, Zot.
Right. And that's key. He understands it from the inside out. He's got the craft perspective and the scholarly one. He's not just some academic looking in.
He really bridged that gap. He took his own craft and, well, dissected it.
And maybe the smartest thing he did, the thing that just perfectly proved his point,
was writing Understanding Comics as a comic book.
Exactly. It's the ultimate demonstration. He took these really complex, abstract ideas, time, perception, icons, all that, and explained them using the very medium he was analyzing.
And it worked perfectly. It showed, without needing dense academic text, that comics could handle, you know, big intellectual ideas.
Absolutely. It really cemented him as this foundational thinker in the field. He wrote other books later, reinventing comics, making comics, building on it.
Okay, so let's get to the core idea, his definition of comics. How does he boil it down?
It's surprisingly simple, but really powerful. He says comics are juxtaposed, pictorial, and other images in deliberate sequence.
Sequential art. That's the term he coins, right?
Yeah.
Two or more images side by side, making you connect them.
Precisely. And that deliberate sequence creates some kind of narrative or idea or feeling.
And what's so important about that definition is how it separates the form, the sequential images, from the usual content we associate with comics.
Totally. It gets away from just thinking superheroes or funny pages. He's saying the medium itself, this sequential thing, is just a vessel.
A vessel that can hold anything. Journalism, philosophy, poetry, instructions.
Exactly. So the book takes you on this journey. It starts with the definition, looks back at ancient examples, Egyptian tombs, the Bayeux Tapestry.
Showing this isn't really new.
Right. Then it dives into the psychology, how our brains perceive these sequences, how we make meaning. He's basically building a shared toolkit, a language, so we can talk about how comics achieve their effects.
Okay, let's unpack some of those core mechanics. This is where it gets really fascinating. Maybe start with the idea of the icon, that whole spectrum he lays out.
Yeah, chapter two. So he puts visual representation on this line.
Mm-hmm.
On one end, you have pure realism, like a photograph. Very detailed, very specific.
Captures reality perfectly.
And on the other end, you have pure abstraction, like the letters that make up a word, just symbols.
Okay, so where do cartoons fit in?
They're somewhere in between, leaning towards abstraction.
Yeah.
And here's the brilliant part. McCloud argues that simplification is incredibly powerful.
How so?
Because a really realistic drawing, like that photo, clearly represents someone else. You see another person.
Right.
But a simple, iconic drawing? Think of a classic smiley face or a basic cartoon character. It's more like a blank slate.
Ah, so you can project yourself onto it.
Exactly. He calls it universality. You, the reader, pour your own identity, your consciousness, into that simple shell. You identify with the experience more directly, not just observing a specific other person.
That's why those simple characters can have such broad appeal then. You see yourself in them.
Precisely. It's a powerful tool for connection.
But I wonder, does that simplification ever become a limitation? Like, if an artist wants to show really complex, specific emotions, wouldn't a more detailed face be better? Does universality get in the way sometimes?
That's a really good question. And McCloud does touch on that. It's about balance. Often you'll see comics where the character face is very simple, very iconic.
Look for that identification.
Right. But the world around them, the backgrounds, the objects, might be drawn much more realistically. That anchors the scene, gives it emotional weight and specificity.
Ah, okay. So it's about choosing where to simplify and where to add detail, depending on the effect you want.
Exactly. It's a deliberate choice on that spectrum.
Got it. Okay, let's move to maybe the most famous concept, The gutter.
Ah, yes. The space between the panels.
McLeod says this is where the magic happens, which sounds cool, but what does he actually mean?
He means that's where closure occurs. It's the mental act you perform without even thinking about it. See panel A, then you see panel B.
And your brain fills in the gap.
Your brain fills in everything that happened between A and B. The action, the passage of time, the connection. If panel A is someone throwing a ball and panel B is someone catching it, you mentally create the entire arc of the throw.
So the reader is actively participating. They're not just receiving information. They're constructing the story in their head.
It's a collaboration. That's what makes comics unique. And he breaks down how we make those connections, the different types of transitions between panels.
Right, like action to action.
Yeah, that's a common one. Shows the same subject doing consecutive actions, like the punch example. Panel one, fist raised. Panel two, face impacted. Your mind supplies the punch.
But there are others that mess with time more, aren't there? I found aspect to aspect really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Aspect to aspect is fascinating. It basically bypasses time. It's like your eye wandering around a scene.
Setting a mood.
Exactly. Showing different parts of a place, different details to build atmosphere. Think of establishing shots in a film, but broken into panels. There's no action happening between them, just being there. It forces you to slow down, absorb the environment.
And this connects to how panels are shaped and sized, right? That influences our sense of time.
Absolutely. Chapter 4, time frames. Time and space are fused in comics. If you have a long, thin, horizontal panel,
it feels like a longer moment, slows things down.
Right, or maybe a wide panoramic view. But if you have a sequence of lots of little square panels crammed together,
things feel faster, more chaotic, urgent.
Precisely. The artist is manipulating your perception of time just by changing the geometry on the page. It makes a static medium feel dynamic.
Okay, so we've got icons for identification, the gutter for closure and time. What about the lines themselves inside the panels?
Ah, the living line. Chapter 5. This is about the expressive quality of the line itself. A line isn't just an outline, it carries feeling. Think about abstract art. We instinctively get that a sharp, jagged, chaotic line feels different from a smooth, flowing, curved line.
One feels like anger or energy, the other feels calm or gentle.
Exactly. McLeod says those emotional meanings are almost universal. So the style of the drawing, the quality of the line, directly communicates emotion, even before you consciously register what is being drawn. It's like the visual equivalent of tone of voice.
And that must amplify the effect of closure, too. If the lines in those punch panels were really jagged and violent,
it ramps up the implied impact enormously. All these elements, icons, closure, panel shape, line quality, they all work together, orchestrating your experience.
Okay, one more big mechanic. The mix of words and pictures, show and tell.
Right, chapter 6. And it's way more complex than just pictures illustrate the text.
He breaks it down into, what, 7 different combinations?
Yeah, he looks at cases where words dominate, where pictures dominate, where they do different jobs, like words carry plot, pictures carry mood. But the goal, the real sweet spot,
is interdependent.
That's it. Where the words and the pictures need each other, they combine to create a meaning that neither one could achieve on its own.
That's the true alchemy of comics, then.
That's what he argues, yeah. Where the medium really sings.
Okay, stepping back from the mechanics, what are the big takeaways if someone reads this book or even just hears about it? What are the, like, 3 main things they should get?
Well, first and foremost, I think, is the legitimacy and versatility argument. McLeod gives comics the theoretical backbone to be taken seriously, alongside literature or film.
It's a distinct language, capable of anything. Breaks that old comics are just for kids idea.
Completely. Yeah. Second, I'd say the power of active reader participation through closure.
Realizing that you, the reader, are actually co-creating the story.
Yeah, and that insight goes beyond comics, really. It suggests that powerful communication often leaves gaps, invites the audience to connect the dots themselves. It's more engaging.
That makes sense. And the third big one.
That form is distinct from content. Stop judging the entire medium of sequential art by its most popular genre, like superheroes.
The container is separate from what's inside. It can hold anything.
Right. Graphic novels, journalism, memoir, tutorials. It's all comics if it uses that deliberate sequence of images. The how is the medium, not the what.
It's interesting how these theoretical ideas actually pop up in the real world. Like you mentioned UI UX design.
Oh, absolutely. Think about every icon on your phone, every button on a website, every logo. That's all about McLeod's ideas of the icon and universality.
Trying to make something instantly understandable globally with a simple image.
Exactly. Designers grapple with that spectrum of realism versus abstraction all the time. to create intuitive systems. How simple can we make this icon so everyone gets it immediately?
And for education. Seems like it would be great for teaching media literacy.
Definitely. Understanding closure is basically understanding inference. Looking at panel transitions helps you analyze pacing and mood. It's like a decoder ring for visual storytelling. You start seeing the deliberate choices artists make everywhere.
It makes you a more critical consumer of, well, everything visual.
And maybe the most profound application is just recognizing how much we use closure in everyday life. We're constantly piecing together fragments of information, conversations, news, social cues, and filling in the gaps to make sense of the world.
We're always mentally bridging the gutters.
Pretty much, yeah. Constructing our own coherent reality from incomplete data.
One thing that really struck me going through this was that connection McLeod makes to really ancient art forms, the Bayeux tapestry, the Egyptian tomb paintings.
Yeah, showing that telling stories in sequence with pictures isn't some modern fad. It's fundamental to how humans have communicated for thousands of years.
It makes you feel like comics are part of this incredibly long, deep tradition.
It really does. And I think the lasting insight from McLeod is that sense of potential. He gives us the tools to respect and understand this medium, but also leaves us feeling like it's still, in many ways, just getting started.
Like there's so much more that sequential art could do.
Exactly. It's a language with vast expressive possibilities, still evolving, still waiting for artists to push its boundaries even further. The potential feels kind of limitless.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.